The president was greeted by veteran Soviet ambassador
to offer condolences on the death of Leonid Brezhnev.
The operation is what's crucial, because what we do is for the good of the many. Don't let your conscience get us killed.
If you tell her now, it will all blow up.
But at least she'll know who she is.
Every move you make.
Jamie, this is West Coast Project, and we're here to do The Americans. Pastor Tim.
Yeah.
Episode 2 in Season 4. How are you tonight, Jamie?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry, I'm away from my microphone.
I'm doing good.
So, Jamie, there's a couple themes in this one. I'm always digging for themes, and I thought I'd dug a couple out of this. Love and death. Love, in that Bakalanov and Nina seem to be hitting it off. They're hitting it off more than just the I'll be your pal or I'll be your sex buddy. They're finding a connection in this.
Well, you know they're not doing sex, right?
I know.
Okay.
That's not part of it. That's what I'm saying. It's not that.
Yeah, it's not.
It's the deeper kind of love, Jamie.
Yeah.
I was trying to do that with my, Al Green? Who's got a good voice like that?
Oh, okay. So Al Green's one of them. And then, I forget the rest of their names.
And Elizabeth, back to Philip. Elizabeth is coming back to Philip. Love, baby.
Elizabeth is coming back to Philip.
She's coming back. She's like putting family first. Family's more important than the mission. She's turning a corner here.
We'll go through it.
Well, I'll point out the reasons I say these things. And okay. The other theme, death, love and death. Death, Oleg's brother, Grandma Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And death seems to be right around the corner for some other people coming up.
It's not his mother, his brother.
Oh, yeah, his brother, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
And so this starts with Philip coming into the garage with the vial and the cooler. Right from the end of the last episode.
Yes.
Right from his lapel crunching from Stan.
Yes.
And he tells Elizabeth about Sandra and Est. And it's kind of funny. There's a little bit of comedy in this one, too, Jamie. Elizabeth looks slightly hurt as he's telling her this story about Est. Like, how many times have you gone to Est?
Yeah, she looked wounded. She really did.
And then why do you go? I don't get it. Why do you do this? So you learn things about life, he tells her. And then she asks, interestingly, and this is where I start to say she's turning this corner, well, should I go?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that answer that Philip gave was not an honest answer. He's like, sure, you can come to this thing I've been keeping secret and wanted to do by myself. Of course I would like you to come.
Well, why wouldn't you want her there?
Because it's his thing.
Yeah, I guess. It's like his golf course.
Yeah.
Can I go golfing with you, baby?
Yeah.
Sure. Love to have you come.
Love for you to come golfing where I can only be by myself. That's the only place I can hide.
All right, that takes us right up to the credits. So, Jamie, here's what I put in my first note to ask you. Are they more spies now or marriage partners? Which is stronger?
Marriage.
It wasn't always that way, though, do you think?
No.
Yeah, I think so, too. That's what they're turning. They're turning their spy roles into more marriage partner roles.
Yes, I think so.
I like them better like that.
For sure.
They are exhausted and tired in this exchange, though. They look totally beat, both of them.
Yeah, they do.
In this garage. And maybe in this whole episode. They're just worn out.
That was my feeling exactly.
You're just saying that because you're tired. You've had a long day.
No, I promise you. And actually, I was looking at them, and I thought they looked really old, too.
Yeah, Phillips looks older. His hair's thinning.
And his face is getting all doughy.
So, Jamie, you have any traffic reports on the 404 from us, or what's the big highway around Atlanta?
400.
The 400? Yeah. Anything, any traffic incidents you want to relate?
Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know why you're asking me that, but we have had tremendous traffic just like today on 400. It's been awful. And actually all over the city, I mean, the traffic was just crazy and there were cop cars everywhere and there were wrecks. Even yesterday afternoon, there were just so many accidents on my way home. I want to say I passed on the same stretch of road. I passed maybe like 4 accidents, and that's a lot. That's a lot. And they were big, like major.
Yeah, all right. I don't really care. I just wanted to let you vent a little bit.
Oh.
pump some life into you.
Oh.
All right, we go to Gabriel now, Jamie. Back to our episode here. Back to Gabriel. 20 years of E. coli and hepatitis down the drain. Thought he was channeling a little John Belushi there from Animal House.
Yeah.
he's upset. William has a poor disposition. And he's only stuck at level 3, and they need him to get up to level 4 where the more virulent pathogens are stored or worked on.
He's not ambitious, though, because his attitude keeps him down.
Well, they're going to get him there.
Yeah, okay.
Gabriel's determined. So they find out that Philip still has this germ they have to get rid of the germ. And they have a funny exchange here. Gabriel just says, why don't we have you do it before they tell me to have you do it?
Yeah.
And Philip says, why don't we have you do it until they tell you to have me do it?
Right.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, I like that.
But he ends up stuck with it. He ends up putting it back in his pocket,
mm-hmm.
The pathogen hot potato.
Right.
Now, Jamie, Gabriel gives them a computer. What do you think's behind this?
Oh, Gabriel's giving them that computer. Because he wants the kids to take an interest in the computer. And then when the kids start using the computer, computer's going to start popping up with little assignments for them to do.
Yeah, that was a squarish type computer, maybe a Macintosh. 1983, that would have been the wheelhouse for that time for the Macintosh just coming out.
I don't know the vintage computer types.
I had one. I had a Macintosh when it came out.
Did you really?
It was cool. It was like a block like that, and it had a handle in the top where you just reached in. It was like a gap. It didn't have a handle that popped up, but it was, you know, it looked different. It looked different than a normal boxy computer.
Okay.
But I think it might be a Macintosh. Michelle and I do another podcast called Halt and Catch Fire, and the Macintosh is kind of prominent in that series on a West Coast project. Okay, we jump over to Oleg and Arkady now. Oleg's brother is dead, he finds out. Died in combat 2 days ago on an extended tour of duty. He had already completed his tour and had decided to stay.
That's right.
And we're talking about Afghanistan, right?
Yes, we are.
They don't say that, but I'm just guessing at Afghanistan because of all the other evidence in history and the things they've done in the other parts of the series.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's where it was last year.
All right, now Elizabeth hears the recording of Paige revealing them to Tim in her bugging of Tim's office.
Yeah.
And she tells Philip when he comes home and then insists, we must murder him. We have no choice.
Right.
Philip says, we could work on him or we could leave. And then Elizabeth, again, turning that corner of romance and marriage versus spydom, says, killing him is better than losing us. She doesn't want to lose their little situation there. I think if they went back home, they would be probably separated, right? They would be in different, they're just soldiers. They'd be in different duties again and probably not in a marriage.
No, if they went back to Russia, if they quit the spy game, they'd be dead. If they quit the spy game, they would have to defect. And even if they defected, and Russia would be after them, and they probably wouldn't stop until they killed them.
Well, what if they said to Russia, hey, we're about to be uncovered. Get us out of here. We're still going to work for it. You know, we're still on your side and all that, but why just get caught and get prosecuted?
Mm.
I think that's one of their options. Like, just go back to Russia. Just give up this mission. Go back home and retreat. Or defect. Defect obviously would be bad news for Russia, and they would not like that. But I think the one option that they're talking about is just going back home, going back to Russia, kind of retreating. But Elizabeth doesn't want either, really, because it's, I guess if they defect, they could stay together. But going back to Russia is losing their relationship, I think. I think that's what they meant.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't think they were talking about going back to Russia. I think they were talking about, like, if they don't do something about Pastor Tim, it's over for them because he's going to eventually take that information to the police. It'll get out.
Yeah. Well, they do say we could leave. That doesn't
mean... Oh, yeah. I didn't think that meant go back to Russia. I thought that meant leave, like, let's change our identities and, you know, get the hell out of Dodge.
Oh, get on the run. Just go on the run from both Russia and America.
Yeah.
Whatever. Maybe. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, this part confused me, Jamie. Maybe you can help me. Gad and Stan are talking, and Gad tells Stan the CIA cleared it. What, though? Is this that exchange for Nina that... Nina for Tatiana?
No, I think that this is like some kind of like something that they didn't exactly mention that Stan is going to try with Oleg. Some sort of little like scheme or something.
Yeah, and then he says Oleg doesn't respond to blackmail.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Then Gad has to go talk to Gene's parents. Gad's in a badass mood here. He's grumpy. He's been grumpy for 3 episodes.
No, Gad?
Yeah.
He ought to be grumpy. He's been, grumpy since last season. He's like all undone.
All right, we go to Philip searching Tim's church now, Tim's office in the church, Jamie. He's looking around. He sees a few things, and I made a list of what he saw. He opens the desk and he sees the Law of Christ book, some eye drops, Stop the U.S. Intervention in El Salvador booklet. But the most interesting thing he sees, Jamie, is a marathon day calendar. And I listened to the Insiders podcast, Jamie. They talked about how back in the days when we used day calendars, like paper booklets that were calendars, that the first thing everybody did when they would get one, like for Christmas, is write in everybody's birthday and holidays. So you'd get it nice, clean, you know, clean, unwritten on calendar, and you would write in everybody's birthday. So what they did on Tim's calendar is they had somebody write in the same handwriting, in the same pen, a bunch of birthdays so it would look authentic.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you look at it, you'll see that there's a number of things written in one font style and one ink color because somebody had put in dates of birthdays and stuff.
Huh.
But Philip also sees in this day calendar the block of times for the all day at cabin for sermons stretch that Tim does every week to plan his sermons.
Right. And he goes away to write his sermons, think them up, write them up, make him as boring as possible, and then he goes back to his boring wife, and they go and go to church.
Why all the pain for Tim here, Jamie?
Why
all the hate for Tim?
Because I don't like him. He's annoying, and he's not nice. He's trying to get Paige to do the wrong thing, and I think he's a hypocrite.
All right, Stan and Philip arrive home at the same time with their cars and exchange cold glares, man, ice cold stares across that road. Philip grabs a beer and tells Elizabeth about the cabin and the sermons he's found on the daytimer. And Elizabeth is going to check it out. And then she asks him again, are you all right?
Yep.
Look, buddy, all we need to do is get this bastard out of our lives and we'll be fine. She does not like Pastor Tim either.
No, she doesn't like him, but she wants to murder him. I don't want to murder anybody.
What would you do with him?
I would probably put a perm in his hair.
Put a part in that hair if you're not, if you don't sit down. All right, Philip's worried that Paige may one day find out about all this and hate them or whatever, just be damaged by this.
If they kill him, she will know. She'll figure it out.
Yeah, but they're in survival mode here. I agree with Elizabeth. Is like that what you're worried about?
Well, okay, so all right. So Elizabeth is being extreme. She gets like that when she's like, you know, in a panic mode or something. But the thing is, Philip is right. She is going Paige will figure everything out. It's going to make it worse. If they just kill this dude, it's going to make it worse. The best thing that they can hope for right now is that at the exact moment that Paige came and said, "Mom, you know, I told," and everything, and she's thinking she's just revealing this to her mother, that that's the time that Pastor Tim dies, so that it will make it impossible in Paige's mind for her mother to have done anything about this.
Oh, but things are not that easy, Jamie.
I know.
Philip then says, "I'm just looking for something good. None of this is what I wanted." Mm-hmm. What do you think he wanted? We get recruited, we go to America, we become heroes back home, everything works out fine, and we get a nice little family out of the deal. Think about it. Play this all out in your head, Jamie. You go to America as two spies. You have a young family that are going to grow up American. They're going to want to be American. They are American. Paige and Henry. How could these problems not develop?
Oh, yeah, but yeah, nobody's telling them that when they're like young. I mean, how do they think along those lines? You know, they're not, I think they're that the first generation or maybe the second generation of spies that have been,
planted.
Recruited. I think they're the first generation that has been planted like that there.
Embedded, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, if that's the case, and it is, then they couldn't possibly have been thinking, oh, Russia's going to want our children, you know, to work for them and be spies too. And then, you know, we're going to have to, you know, I mean, it's just too much of a complication.
So what do you think they thought though? I mean, they have kids, grow up. They take a little bit of time to grow up. Don't you think, okay, this kid's 3 now. What's going to happen when he's 15?
I'm sure that they are thinking because they can't even speak Russian to each other. So what they're thinking is, hey, you know, our kids are going to grow up American.
Yeah, and we'll just be in America as spies forever?
I guess, until they retire.
And then what?
Retire, like be American retired people, I guess.
Yeah, but you don't retire. And do you think Russia leaves those loose ends retired? And I don't know. I think Russia had, the officials back home had the plan that the kids grow up, the kids become super embedded spies then.
Yeah.
Indoctrinated by mom and dad and us and the Gabriels and who's the woman? Claudia. Those persuaders.
You know, Margot Martindale, who plays Claudia, won an award. She won an Emmy.
For converting children into spies?
Yep. All
right, Jamie, back to the Siberian factory now. Okay. You get to meet Boris. Boris is Nina's ex, still married husband.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in there, he's Nina's ex. He tells her she looks skinny to him, and I think that was meant to be a compliment.
It was.
But that's not really a compliment.
Not. I don't think it was meant so much as a compliment as like an endearing kind of thing. Like, you know, when you see your family after a long time, oh, look at you, you're fat. You look at you, you're thin. You know, kind of thing.
You're free to be expressive about what you think they look like.
Yeah. And it's not just like feeling free to be expressive about it. It's like, you know, you're welcoming them back. It's like, you know, like if a mom dog finds her little puppy baby dog, she, you know, just grustles up next to him and sniffs him and licks him and does that stuff. I think it was kind of like that.
Okay. He thanks her for sending him stuff from America when she was in America. She probably sent him some nice stuff, huh?
Well, that's how Nina first got in trouble.
Yeah.
Remember how she first got turned to work for Stan because Stan discovered that she was sending stuff home when she wasn't supposed to.
Right. I'm just trying to remember what that stuff was. I'm trying to remember if we knew.
It wasn't anything specific. It was just like she was sending home merchandise and money.
Hmm.
And she wasn't supposed to.
It's probably like Omaha steaks and cartons of Marlboros.
You think? That would be insanity.
Boris has two new kids with another woman, and he wonders what would have happened if they had kept the baby. So we find out Nina and him had almost had a baby.
Yeah.
He still loves her, Jamie.
Yes.
But maybe not for much longer. Huh. She says she thinks she's too old to marry again, and Boris says, I'd marry you, Nina.
Yes.
That's a pretty sweet little statement.
It was.
He thinks his wife is kind of meh, kind of boring.
No. She's not his wife. She's his woman. And she's just happy to live together and eat at the same table and sleep in the same bed.
Oh, they're not married.
They're not married because they are, Nina and he are still married.
Right, but sometimes guys get married even though they're still married. No. Okay, so Nina asks Boris for a favor. She wants him to give a note to a guy named Gorlek. We're going to find out more about Gorlek at the end of the show, but he's an ex-con in Vladivostok, and he's got a record for smuggling stuff. And she gives him a note, and that scene kind of ends. Now we go to the bus stop in D.C. or Virginia, wherever they're picking up this Eastern European pilot. As Philip watches, he's gonna exchange the Glanders package with him.
Yeah.
We see this bus, Jamie. I like this scene. It had the tainted love girl.
Yeah.
She had the very 80s-centric makeup, hair. Her clothes were all 80s period perfect with a denim skirt and purple leggings.
Yeah, she perfect. Was quite a situation going on.
Bus driver goes out for a smoke, and Philip and the pilot do an exchange, but this pilot is pretty nervous.
God, yeah.
Now, an American security guy gets on, and he's looking for a nervous pilot, so not a good series of events here.
No.
I wonder if they really had those then, and if they have them now.
What, the security types?
Looking for nervous pilots.
Oh, gosh. Well, okay, so I can't say much about that, because I have some inside info on that. But I will say that, that kind of security stuff is very important.
I know they do it in Israel, at El Al. They have like people, that's all they do is they don't put you through stupid scanners and take your shoes off. They just look at you.
Look, those people, they have like the best security, you know, like in the world, they have the best airport security.
Well, that's what makes it smart. That's what makes it secure, because that's what you need to look for, the facial expressions and the nervousness.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you gotta check that stuff out. But anyway, that guy, I think it's actually like an FAA. I was kidding about it being inside info, but I do. I was married to somebody who worked for an airline, and what it is that if there are certain things that certain laws that apply to employees of airlines, and there are rules that the airline has, and then there are laws that are enforced by, like, you know, the FAA and all that, and the, you know, NSA and all that. And so if you have a pilot who is either nervous or intoxicated or ill or, you know, some sort of something that would make him operating at less than his best, then he's not supposed to fly.
Yeah, I could see that. They're looking for hangovers and stuff, probably.
Well, not just that, but other things, too. I mean, like, I don't think you can fly when you're ill. Like, yeah. A certain level of illness, you know, like a fever or something like that, because you've got, you know, hundreds of lives potentially that are in your hands. And so it's a big deal. And I think that's what it was. I don't think that this airline security guy was thinking, oh, I'm going to catch you with some poison. I think he was thinking, you know, if you're not looking right or acting right, you maybe shouldn't be flying.
Yeah, Philip tries to help him, but it's pretty pointless. This guy's a real mess. And yep. The security guy says, when I see distressed pilots, I need to check. It's like, not even, sorry, dude, I got to do it. It's not even a decision. It's just a rule.
Yep.
And then they go into a long-ass struggle, Jamie. This struggle between Philip and the guy took too long, I think.
Oh, it did. It did. It took way freaking too long to kill that dude. And this is the second time this has happened. This is the second time this has happened. There was another murder that took place, and I'm not sure like when it was. I don't remember what season it was, but it, this one reminded me of that one, whatever that one was. And it also reminded me of, what's her name? The girl in the suitcase. It reminded me of her because her murder, you know, she was looking that dude in the eyes when he killed her. And this is the same thing. And it just took way, way, way too long. And, you know, Philip's looking the dude in the eye and the guy's looking him in the eye like, are you really going to kill me? And, oh, God, it was awful.
It's a good opportunity for us to listen to some Tainted Love.
Yeah.
The shuttle leaves, the pilot leaves, but the pathogen is left behind. He's chickened out.
Yep.
He's going to get his spy license revoked. He got free from that security guy, but he's not going to get free from the Eastern Bloc security guys that are checking on him.
Yeah. Huh.
All right. Yeah,
they're going to take care of him. I don't think he'll be flying for too much longer.
Elizabeth checks out Tim's cabin retreat now, Jamie. She sees he has a gas stove and a gas heater. One thing I noticed about this, though, is fingerprints. Liz, come on, man. You're leaving fingerprints everywhere.
Oh, yeah. No, uh-uh. It doesn't really work like that. The police don't check for fingerprints the way that we would think that they check for fingerprints.
How do you know that?
Uh-oh.
Got a bunch of secrets tonight, Jamie.
No, we even saw that or heard it on some other show that we podcast about. It's not like that. It's not like the police. Yeah, it was like Breaking Bad. They were talking about that like years ago on the Insider podcast. And they were saying, like, you know, when people would complain about the show and say, oh, you know, someone such as a criminal and they touched everything in that place. And, you know, Vince or somebody was saying that. That's not the way police operate. They don't immediately bust in with the, you know, fingerprint brush and, like, brush everything and get it all dusty and then lift a print and go, ah, found the culprit. It's not
right. Plus, they have budgets. They can literally only check so many things. They can't fingerprint every single crime scene or potential scene.
Right.
All right. So the Philip goes back now on the bus. He kind of ducks down and hides as the driver completes his route and gets away to his car. Mm-hmm. And we go back to Serbia or Siberia, wherever they are, not Serbia. They're getting their slop dinner served in Siberia. And Anton and Nina have a little talk now. They find out that the wing test is successful, well, somewhat successful, not 100% successful. And he says, I did the best I could. I can't do any better. And she advises him not to tell that he's at the limit of his ability here.
Yeah.
Pretty smart, pretty friendly of Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And then she tells him that she's slipped a note or she's done something that his son may find out that he's alive. And Anton says, I don't want you to do anything that will put you in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And Nina says, I needed to do it. It's not just for you. And then they both share the, you've been a surprise. Well, you've been a surprise to me, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that. I liked that scene, but I don't know. Nina's story has exhausted me a little bit, and I think I'm about tired of Nina. I think she's run out of her usefulness for me right in time, because I think they're about to murder her.
She gets caught. She gets her freedom back almost. She gets caught. She gets her freedom back almost. She gets caught. She gets her freedom back. You think that's run its course, huh?
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll see, I guess. Oleg now meets with Stan. And Stan, now this is, again, this is a little tricky for me because I'm just trying to remember what we already know. Stan tells him they won't make the trade. Another prisoner is more valuable than Nina. I thought we already went through this, Jamie. I thought we already knew this.
Oh, okay. We did know this, but Oleg didn't know this. Stan found out. Remember?
Yeah,
last
okay,
season?
Okay.
Yeah, Gad told him. Gad was like, oh, forget it. You're not going to get your buddy back. We found somebody we wanted more. Remember he was being all, you know, sucking his thumb and acting like a doofus.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I do remember that now. So Oleg didn't know it. So now Oleg says, well, I wonder whose life we saved.
Right.
And Stan gives him his condolences for his brother. So Stan knows about his brother. Mm-hmm. And Oleg says, okay, so we're friends now? And then he leaves, kind of smirks and leaves.
Yeah. I think Stan laid it on a little thick.
Are they friends?
I think that Oleg would think of them more as friends, despite what he just said. I think that Oleg would think of them more as friends than Stan would think of them as friends. But I don't think either one of them is feeling very friendly right now.
They're frenemies.
Okay.
All right, now back to Elizabeth and Philip at home. She asks him, how'd it go? Bad. It didn't go. Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth gets mad that the poison's back in their house. Again, protecting a home more than the duty that they have. That thing's back in our house? And then she tells him that they both have to go to Tim's cabin because there's some sort of security team around there or something, or security guard.
Mm-hmm.
And she teases him, Jamie, about Stan being his boyfriend. Did you make up with your boyfriend?
Right.
And then Philip gets a little esty with her.
Yeah.
Tells her, I've been thinking a lot, and tells her about the milk murder. The est memory.
Yeah.
Now she asks him, how old were you? And he says, 10. Jeez, Jamie, I thought he was older than 10.
Yeah, I meant to tell you that the last podcast. There was no way he was a teenager when he was doing that. And I wanted to disabuse you of the idea that I think you may have had, which is that he was already being a spy at that age. He was a kid. He hadn't been recruited yet. And he was a little bit older when he was doing all that sex stuff, the sex whatever that thing is, like when they had to seduce all those people. That was probably, I don't know, 16, 17, something like that.
Maybe. You might be right about that.
Yeah.
Thanks for correcting me.
You're welcome.
Philip tells her this is the kind of thing that comes up in Est. This is why I go. So they're sharing now. They're sharing some intimacies with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Paige now goes to the cabin, Jamie, and Pastor Tim is gassed. He's dead in his bed. No, wait, he's alive. He's just another guy. No, wait, it's a dream.
Yeah.
Elizabeth wakes up and reaches for Philip, and they are connected. She reaches for him for comfort.
Yeah. It kind of reminded me that, actually, that scene in the bed kind of reminded me a little bit of that one that I got all romantic about, that Valentine's episode where they were shaped like a heart when they were in the bed together, because they, you know, were like curled in toward each other, which made them seem very close.
They're close for a real important reason, though, now, not just Valentine's Day.
Yeah, they're having a baby.
Oh, well, I mean, in the show, who cares about the baby?
Oh, my God. Like, everybody except for, like, you know. Well, I mean, they do.
We're doing a podcast here. Philip goes to meet William now and tells him from the inside of the FBI tells us that your work is paying off. Things are paying off. You know, the things you're finding out are paying off. But the handoff didn't work. And William reminds him, well, we can't do a dead drop. A kid or a dog will get a hold of it and everyone will start oozing pus.
Yeah.
Philip tells him, we're going to get you up to level 4. And William says, please do anything to not succeed at that.
Right.
This guy is funny as hell, man.
He is. He's so deadpan. I really hope he sticks around.
Something tells me he's not bound to be around for long, though.
Okay, maybe not past the season, but I really think we could get a lot more mileage out of him.
Yeah, I'd love to see more of him. He's great.
Yeah.
All right, now Elizabeth meets Gabriel in the park. She wants those germs out of her house.
Mm-hmm.
Gabriel tells her her mother died, but she spoke of you and she said she loved you and Paige. And Elizabeth says, did she really say that?
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth gives the Tuco lie detector stare down. And I think Gabriel fails it, Jamie.
I think so, too.
Because he looks down. He looks away.
Yeah. And he's like, what the hell? Like, you know, his thing is like, what, why aren't you playing your part? Because, you know, whenever there's a relationship like that, where one person is clearly an asshole, Gabriel, and the other person is clearly a devotee of the asshole, Elizabeth, like, there's a symbiosis there. Like, both people have to silently, without ever acknowledging it, agree that no one's going to recognize that the asshole's an asshole, right? So that's the relationship they have. And she just broke their deal. And he didn't like that.
It's like the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room that nobody acknowledges.
Mm-hmm.
But she's acknowledging it.
Uh-huh.
So now he comforts her, but he kind of comforts her as a soldier. Like a soldier, he wants to stay at the top of the game, their
right.
game. But it's not friendly or loving. It's just like, you can do it. Stay in the game because I need you as a player.
Yes.
To be at the top of your game.
Correct.
All right, Jamie, back in Siberia, Timashev calls Nina in, and she's caught. The ex-con got caught, or turned it in, actually, I guess.
Yeah.
Turned in the note on purpose. And Nina protects Baklanov now, says it was all her. He had nothing to do with it. And now Timashev wonders why she would do this. You were almost out. This is what you're tired of, I know, but it is a pretty good question. Like, why not get out? Why not Nina serve 4 more months or whatever? Or do you think she was ever going to get out?
I don't know. And I don't know if that question even matters. Because her answer really tells us everything.
I'm not who I was. But think about it. If she thought she was going to get out, she could have just waited out 6 months and then go to whoever she wants and say, hey, I was in jail with your buddy Baklanov, with your father.
Right. But he would never have known. And
right.
this was for him. It wasn't for his son.
I guess that's true. He would have never known.
Yeah.
Pretty complicated. So I'm not who I was. Who was she and who is she now?
Well, I think she was someone who was interested in serving her own interests. We talked a lot about that last season. Nina was always number one for Nina. And she was going to do whatever it took to make sure that she came out all right. And I think that this experience has changed her. I think that's what we're supposed to take from this. And I think we may never see Nina again.
Too bad. I like Nina.
She's all right, but I've gotten tired of her story, and they may have realized she exhausted her usefulness. I don't know what's going to happen to her.
All right, Paige comes home, and Elizabeth tells her about Grandma. Just a quick little cutaway here. And then we see Stan and Henry sharing some meal. It's like a pre-dinner snack type meal. Macaroni and cheese?
I think it was mac and cheese. And I was just so happy to see Henry. Although I think we're done with Henry's nice little stories. I don't know. I guess I could get behind the idea of like teenage Henry, but I don't know. I think it's good that he's spending time with Stan because Stan kind of gives him that like ability to kind of still be kind of fun and, you know, have fun, cute little stories. You know, it's like now he likes his teacher, which is, you know, I guess that's teenage boys do.
Stan is hurting for friends, so that helps Stan solve that a little bit. But I got a theory about this science teacher, Jamie. You may not like it.
Uh-oh.
Henry asked Stan for girl advice. It's my science teacher. But do you think this was Sandra?
Huh?
Do you think he was making an allusion to Sandra? Again, he couldn't tell Stan, of course, it's Sandra, but he has a crush on Sandra.
No.
Why not? How can you so easily dismiss that?
Because why would he hide what he's, there's no way, no. He likes his science teacher. It is what it is.
Well, he likes Sandra too. He has freaking pictures of her in his stash.
He had, like a year ago or 2 years ago.
No, remember the time is not that far removed from the last season.
All right. But no, it's not that. This was like a genuine boy getting older moment between him and his neighbor. It was there was no subterfuge.
I think Stan's going to lose Sandra to both Philip and Henry.
Oh God. Okay.
Stan notices Henry's cologne, and it wasn't Drakkar Noir. It was Ralph Lauren.
Yeah.
I actually used to wear some of that crap. Obsession.
Oh God.
I mean, when you're an idiot, you're like a high school senior. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
It's true.
You think you're studly and you know, you're a jackass.
I'm sorry. I just had I had a sense memory of the cologne that I bought for my high school boyfriend, which God only knows how I got the money to buy that. But I bought him
Like, yeah, that shit was expensive.
Yeah, a bottle of Halston or some crap. Actually, it really was not cheap cologne because it was something that my dad wore. And I bought it for my high school boyfriend and gave it to him for like Christmas or something.
It was probably $50, bottle of Obsession. $40, $50 back in the freaking 80s.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But yeah, I didn't buy Obsession for my boyfriend. I bought him Halston, which is probably smells exactly the same.
Hey, you want him to be like your dad.
I did. Isn't
that it's a girl thing.
It is. It
trying to recreate daddy.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
All right, back to the household now. Elizabeth is there with Paige, and after a few minutes of indecision, Paige comes down and tells Elizabeth about the truth she shared with Pastor Tim.
Yeah.
Elizabeth freaks. Their plan is all fucked up. The phone rings, and she tells Philip to get his ass home. Paige says, "What was I supposed to do? You put me into this situation."
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, again, to hammer my point home, she hammers her point home. You're supposed to put this family first.
Yeah.
Now, Seppenwall calls this situation a Gordian knot, Jamie. I love that term. Gordian knot. It's a tricky situation that can't be solved without some dramatic action.
Interesting.
So that's Seppenwall. That's not the writers, but he's usually pretty tuned in. So Philip comes home, and she tells him about these events and then tells him her mother died, and he comforts her, and they both kind of collapse into each other, and she says, "We're in trouble."
Yeah, I like that one. I liked it for so many reasons. I think they wrote it in there, you know, just to be kind of sweet because, you know, when you're pregnant, you're in trouble.
Oh, but did they film this before? Probably right about the time she knew she was pregnant.
Yeah, well, I think she's actually showing a little bit in the series right now.
Is she?
Mm-hmm, I think so, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. All right, Jamie, well, that was it for 402. I think we're off to a really good start this season. Pastor Tim, you got any predictions you want to make?
Yeah, Pastor Tim ends up dead. Either Pastor Tim ends up dead or Pastor Tim is a member of the other side and they don't know it yet. And Paige gets a little bit more close to being recruited, if not like outright recruited. Henry is going to, we're going to see a little bit more of like Henry's world is going to expand a little bit. I think that we might not see too much interaction between Stan and Philip right now, you know, for maybe a lot of the season because of the kind of funky stuff that's going on between them now. And I think that Philip and Elizabeth may become emotionally a little bit closer because he's having to involve her in this Est crap. And they may end up getting a little bit more on the same page about their feelings about being spies because I don't know that anything will come of it, but I think that Elizabeth is starting to realize that things are not as ideal as she would like for them to be.
So is that what you want to happen or is that what you think will happen?
I think those things will happen. What I want to happen is like a whole other thing.
Well, what? That's what do you want to happen?
What I want to happen is for them to like really put Paige's feet to the fire and see what happens, try to recruit her and then have her like, you know, blow up and then have this like whole big emergency thing and then have to figure out how to deal with whatever her issues are. So I really honestly thought that they might just explode her. I thought that she might end up in that cabin and then, you know, get blown to bits when Father Tim gets her, whatever, Pastor Tim gets blown to bits, but they didn't do it. And so now I'm trying to figure out what they're going to do with her. And then I also want to see a little bit, okay, so if they're not going to just rid us of Nina and just be done, I want to see where Nina's story really ultimately ends. Like, you know, is she redeemed? And if she is, can she please come back to America and just be normal for a minute? And then I want to see some more of Oleg. I don't know what to do with Oleg, but I kind of have a secret wish that he and Stan really would be spy friends.
Do you Do you think Fields and Weisberg would be overreaching their writing chops if they made Pastor Tim the triple agent? He was really a Russian guy. Checking on Paige and checking on the family.
I don't know.
I think I've come to that conclusion. Pastor Tim has to be a danger to the family. He's not a triple agent. He's just a pastor. But now he has evidence. He has information that could really hurt them.
Yeah.
And you're right. The value of ruining Paige for life by just murdering this guy, her only trusted ally in the world, really, outside of the family. And he may even be more trusted than the family.
He is more trusted than the family.
And that's where our Skype gave out on us. So that's it for 402 Pastor Tim on the Americans from West Coast Project. Follow Jamie at Word Girly. And Mike at Scathing Tweets. And we'll see you next week on 403, Experimental Prototype City of Tomorrow.
So tenderly, with the burning love that stings like a bee.